Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Exciting day on the Bad Signal podcast. I just like to collect all of the former Game Day employees. Marcus Mosher, how are we doing on this glorious Wednesday?
Doing very well. Our Dallas Cowboys 4-1. Exciting. We got a really fun week 6 coming up. Excited to talk about it all.
You said our Dallas Cowboys. That does not include me.
Although, well, right? You could be a part of this. You could be a part.
Okay. I mean, we got a lot to talk about the NFC East. I wanted to have Marcus on to preview the Cowboys. We were doing some NFC East previews. It got a little too tedious and I never had him on. We did Sal Palantonio with the Eagles, which was a very interesting conversation. Old heads on young podcasts. I just want to say, listen, that was a very difficult
go interview. Listen to it. It's a fun listen.
It's a fun listen, but it was also like very nerve-wracking because some of my predictions that I was dishing out to Mr. Palantonio, Sal Pal, he was like, wow, that's pretty bold, Courtney. Why don't you call me in the middle of the season and let's confirm that that happens.
By the way, I think you were right on Matt Stafford.
I said Matt Stafford, I think his this shoulder elbow injury is going to be an issue. And I think that he's going to miss a significant amount of time. And Sal stopped me in my tracks. And he was like, that's pretty bold, Court.
I mean, he probably should have, right? Like, if you've seen the way the season's gone so far, they probably should have just rested him a few weeks and got him healthy, right? So you're kind of right.
No, I'm not patting myself on the back here. Listen, like, I'm just a girl who likes football. I used to work for the NFL Network, and he's got a good eye for
humble brag.
Good eye for talent, and a good eye for over-unders. Well, on this show, we're going to talk a lot about the NFC East, that crazy Monday night football game. That was just tantalizing and wild. And why the hell did they go for 2? They could have been up by 8. And then I could have won my bet if they held the Raiders on the other side of the ball. But Derek Carr had a night for himself. Yeah, we'll get to all of that. And bad football. Bad football versus bad quarterbacks, good head coaches. We got to talk about the underperformers and what is next for those quarterbacks in the league. And then, of course, we got to talk about some Dallas Cowboys, some NFC East stuff, and keeping quarterbacks in bubbles because we got some breaking news on this hour right now. Skylar Thompson, would you say he's from Kansas State? That's where he played his college ball?
Yes, he played like 17 years at Kansas State. Yep.
Oh, he's a six-year senior. You know, he got that extra level of eligibility. Skylar Thompson named the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins on Sunday by head coach Mike McDaniel. Should we be keeping these quarterbacks in bubbles and, you know, roughing the passer versus the Tom Brady? I think that they're in a really, really big predicament right now, the league, on how to protect quarterbacks. They have to, because of Tua, they have to up the protocols. I mean, the Dolphins are down to their last string quarterback. He did have some magic. Skylar Thompson did in the preseason, but I'm not so sure on an NFL Sunday. What do you think, Marcus?
All right. You ready for a hot Skylar Thompson take? Just coming right out firing. Ready?
Okay, let's go.
I kind of thought Skylar Thompson was the best quarterback in this draft class over Kenny Pickett, over Desmond Ridder. You look at some of his stats at Kansas State. He threw for a bunch of yards. He's tough. And then you saw him in the preseason, and he just put up ridiculous numbers. I don't care that he struggled against the Jets last week. He probably got like two plays in practice all week, came in there, played all right. I won't be shocked if he looks really good this week against the Vikings with a full week of practice. That's my hot take, Courtney.
Oh, I love this hot take. I love this hot take. So what do you think about, I got a hot take from a defensive coach in the NFL. I can't disclose any names, but he called me and he was trying to give me a little hot take. I said, what do you think about McDaniel's play calling? And he's like, well, listen, you know, it's pretty predictable when you got like Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle just like exhausted because they're running all these deep routes and then you pull them off the field and everyone knows they're going to run the ball. So we stop the run. Groundbreaking stuff.
Incredible. But just, I don't know how you'd be able to know that if you weren't on the field watching. Just awesome stuff.
I got my notepad out. I was on the phone. I was like, oh shit, got some major scoop.
You thought you were going to get something like, hey, the center's like, the center's telegraphing what play they're going to run, or Tyreek Hill can only run certain routes. But no, we stopped the run with Tyreek Hill and Waddle weren't on the field.
Yeah, exactly. They're exhausted from running all these deep routes. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Listen, Mike McDaniel is a mad scientist. And I know a lot of people in New England are pretty pissed. They call him Boy Wonder. It's like if someone had like to put up the finger on the side, like from New England, they got like both middle fingers up from New England down to Miami. Like, oh yeah, you think your team is good? Oh, okay.
This like, mad scientist, the best way to describe Mike McDaniel, because I think he's like your coffee barista who they just pulled out to be a head coach. It has like 15 great plays that nobody can stop. And two of the fastest guys in NFL history on the same offense.
I find him to be a breath of fresh air.
He is great. I love him. I'm so glad that Miami has him as a head coach.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think that the league is, I guess we'll move on to our kind of like the next idea that I wanted to dish over to you is, I mean, the success of the New York Giants and Brian Daboll. And I think the New York Jets, even though Robert Saleh, they said that he's not the best head coach, I think that the Jets have more talent than the Giants.
Yes.
However, Brian Daboll and what he has done to a mediocre quarterback in Daniel Jones, it's just like the opposite of great coaching and mediocre talent. I would say that McDaniel and Brian Daboll are perhaps doing more with less. And then you look over at the rest of the league, Matt Rhule, who just got fired. Peterson,
see. Got to give him a little bit of time. Things were so bad in Jacksonville. Just give him a little bit of time.
I think give him a little time, but Nathaniel Hackett, my God. I'm pretty sure that he's playing with a video game controller. That's
doing little with a lot over there, right? Like the talent's so good, and that team is really underachieving through five games.
I just think he's not a good coach.
No. And when you compare that to like what Dable's doing with the Giants, like I think the Giants have like one of the bottom five or six rosters in the NFL.
Yep.
And they're 4-1 right now. Like I think Brian Daboll is not just a good coach. I think he might be a great coach. And once that Giants team starts to get some talent, they're going to be really hard to stop. But for the Jets, Robert Saleh, I think he's a fine coach. They've got a lot more talent than the Giants do in there. Kind of staying afloat at 3-2, and we'll see how they do when they play some better teams coming up.
I love that everyone's really hyped on the Jets moving up in the power rankings. Like it's just great. it's a great fall day, crisp fall day in New York City. Just wait until the weather starts to turn November. It will get a lot darker up there in the metropolitan area. Marcus, what do you think about some of the other underperforming quarterbacks in this league? The Matt Ryans, Russell Wilsons, and Carson Wentz. And listen, should we be giving some of these quarterbacks? I mean, these guys are making a lot of money here. Well, one of the worst offenses in football, let's start with that, is the Indianapolis Colts. How much longer can he stretch this out before he gets his head coach fired? I even said that Jim Irsay was going to blow up this team midseason, and I'm surprised that he hasn't already done it.
Yeah, we're trending that way, right? Like, there's just no way that Matt Ryan's going to be able to overcome that bad offensive line. Chris Ballard, the GM for the Colts, decided to go with another washed quarterback, and he's kind of paying the consequences. I know that they beat Denver last week in one of the dumbest games you'll ever see, but this team needs a total reset. Like, they need to go after a young quarterback, somebody that's not on their second, third, fourth team, because it's pretty clear that Matt Ryan's just not it. He's had a great career, but it's over.
Yeah. Russell Wilson. I love that our friend Matthew Berry made a prediction that Russell Wilson was going to go and claim that he got a shot in his shoulder to make sure it's okay, just to excuse his pay. Mm-hmm. I still think that he's underperforming.
Oh yeah. I mean, how could you not, right? Like, that offense is atrocious. They have good receivers in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. They have good running backs before Javonte Williams got hurt, but yeah, for this offense to sputter this much and to struggle to even get into the red zone, this has got to be one of the biggest disappointments you'll ever see, especially when you consider what Denver gave up to acquire him and what you're seeing in Seattle right now. I think that's what makes it worse, right? Like, they gave up all these picks to get Russell Wilson, and yet they might have traded for the wrong quarterback because Geno Smith is playing out of his mind right now.
Well, so who has the higher upside? Is it Marcus Mariota or Geno Smith? Because I think you think so? Because yeah. I think both of these quarterbacks, I feel like the diamond in the rough, the one that was written off. Like if Ryan Tannehill was knocked to the curb, I don't think anyone would remember him. But like the fact that you got Marcus Mariota, former second overall pick, mm-hmm. Not getting his shot in his prime. I feel like it's just untapped potential.
I feel like in a different situation, maybe the answer is Mariota, right? Like if the 49ers would have moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo and brought in Marcus Mariota to be their backup behind Trey Lance, I think you could have seen Mariota have a fantastic season under Kyle Shanahan. But in Atlanta, with really no passing weapons, now their running game is struggling without Cordarrelle Patterson, it's going to be tough for Mariota to have sustained success there with the Falcons.
What is there? Is Kyle Pitts a massive draft disappointment? I mean, like, I can remember after that draft, listening to some podcasts and kind of scanning the league and thinking Kyle Pitts was going to be the offensive rookie of the year. What has happened to Mr. Pitts?
I thought Pitts was the best player in the 2021 draft. I mean, just right? Pure football player. And then when I went this morning to have my cereal, I looked at my milk carton and his face was on. We just haven't seen him, Courtney. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I mean, I know he was injured last week, but I don't know how Arthur Smith doesn't design Pitts, 12, 14 targets a game because he is an absolute monster, but they just don't use him. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Will Jacoby Brissett get a chance at another team once Mr. Deshaun Watson comes back? You got to think, like, Deshaun's been on the milk carton for a little bit, but we're inching closer to week 11. I mean, like, these weeks keep chugging along.
Maybe he'll be the next Colts quarterback again, right? Like, now that he's on his fifth team or whatever. I do think Jacoby will get another shot because while he's had some frustrating interceptions over the last couple of weeks, for the most part, he's been really good. And I think you can call him a top 20 quarterback in the league. And there's a lot of teams that would love to have somebody that is reliable, like Jacoby Brissett, that can get first downs with his legs. I do think Jacoby, in time, will get another shot.
I have some breaking news for you. Very exciting. Head coach Mike McCarthy. Talk about guys on their second, third, ninth life. Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys says that we are preparing for Cooper Rush to be the starter against the Eagles.
Breaking news to me.
Can you give me like your best Jerry Jones post-game reaction when someone in the locker room asks him about when they think that Dak Prescott is going to be okay? Like I saw something, a tweet that someone said, we want the velocity of the ball to be spinning at 48 degrees. We really want him to be the grip, and we need him to be 110% and not just 100%.
I don't do a good Jerry Jones impression, but I'll do my best.
I need the best. I need the best.
That Dak Prescott, we want to see that thing just firing off his fingers. And once he has the grip to hold that football and make plays down the field, that's when we'll put him back in the lineup because we are a darn good team with Dak Prescott in the lineup for our Dallas Cowboys.
Jerry, is it true that you have the best mac and cheese and the best media food in the league? Why is it so important for you to hold this title as greatest cafeteria food for media members?
We as the Dallas Cowboys pride ourselves in making sure that our staff is fed, so they write really good things about us in the newspaper for the next day.
He probably like pumps in good oxygen in the press box, like a Vegas casino, just to make sure that everyone is elated and happy. Yeah, especially just, after a playoff loss, first round exit.
Little CBD in there or whatever, just to get people a little bit excited. Yeah, I mean, their food is fantastic.
Oh my god, yeah, I can remember. There's some stories. I think they did a story on NFL Network about the mac and cheese being like some of the best mac and cheese.
Yeah,
that place is spectacular. I did do a feature during COVID, really, 2020. He spent $53 million on the wireless upgrade to AT&T Stadium. So that stadium is now technologically prepared. If you had like, you know, like 5G, it's already in 6G.
That way you can tweet about the Dallas Cowboys as fast as possible to get people talking. That's exactly why Jerry Jones wanted to have the fastest internet possible.
Oh no, but this is actually fascinating. So how they upgrade the stadium to be technologically sound for the next 10 years is they build basically like this big pie.
Yep.
You know, like imagine the stadium is equipped like a pie. And so once those technology upgrades come in, it's like each level of the pie kind of splits into individually. So depending on where you're sitting, like the middle of the stadium is going to have like almost like a specific coordination for where you're sitting, and you will have your own Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Like, so you're not disrupted by everyone else. They need to do that at FTX Arena because their Wi-Fi right now.
All these Starbucks that I have to sit at and work out. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm a little upset with the Heat Wi-Fi. I'm like, there's something wrong with it. We need an upgrade.
You're not bitter though.
Well,
first world problems, right?
Now that we got off track talking about Jerry Jones, how does Jerry Jones feel about his quarterback Cooper Rush? I mean, is he not the biggest surprise the NFL this year? That man is due for a massive payday.
I thought when Dak Prescott got injured in week one that the Cowboys season was over. And that's all the talking heads talked about for the next week was, hey, we know that the season's over the Cowboys. Now it's just about evaluating talent. And Sean Payton, welcome to coaching the Dallas Cowboys in 2023. But now the Cowboys are sitting at 4-1 with Cooper Rush, although he's not doing a ton. He's just doing enough for the Cowboys to get by. And if they defeat the Eagles this week in Lincoln Financial, Cowboys will have the best record in the NFC, and they'll be poised to have the number one seed. Like, that's how fast things have changed for Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys.
What is so great about this Dallas Cowboys team, at least right now? I mean, we can talk about how well that Jerry Jones has drafted.
This defense led by Micah Parsons is the best I've ever seen from the Dallas Cowboys. Even better than the defenses that we saw in the 90s when the Cowboys were winning the Super Bowl. Like, they can legitimately win games by just their defense. Look at the Rams game, right? They on the first play of the game, they got a strip sack that was returned for a touchdown. On the next drive, they got a punt block, and they scored a field goal on that drive after the offense like lost 8 yards or whatever. And the Rams only scored 10 points the whole day. So the defense almost outscored the entire Rams offense. Like, they are just legitimately dominant. And it's not just Micah Parsons. It's Trevon Diggs. It's DeMarcus Lawrence. It's Donovan Wilson, their safety. Like, they just are loaded with talent. And if that's the reason, if they're going to beat the Eagles here in week six, it's going to be because of their defense, not necessarily Cooper Rush.
Well, DeMarcus Lawrence, it's so crazy. That guy, client of one of my friends, David Cantor, he got him a major payday, some $95 million deal after back surgery. I mean, that guy has broken his back like 8 times and he's still playing at such a high level.
Broke his foot multiple times. He's had shoulder injuries, and this is the best I've ever seen him play, which is incredible considering this is year 8 for him now.
That's crazy. Well, give me kind of a breakdown of how you see. Like, imagine that I'm Sal Palantonio, and I'm just going to give it to you real old and real straight.
It was a good call, Courtney. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's going to happen. This is a great interview. Why don't you call me great in the middle of the season? We love Sal Pal.
Yeah, we love you, Sal. He's one of the best reporters out there.
Oh, excuse me. Jalen Hurts and his ability to throw on third down. I know that was one of the things that Sal Pal had highlighted. They were one of the worst third down teams in the league last year. I haven't updated any of the numbers because it's Wednesday. I haven't started some of my prep, but what can you kind of aim and see as the game plan for this Sunday, Marcus? Kind of just going through what you believe to be like the three most important things to look out for in this legendary matchup.
To me, it's just, can the Eagles run the ball? Because the Dallas Cowboys have the number one defense in the league in third and five plus. Basically, once you get to third and long, you're not getting a first down against the Cowboys because their pass rush is so good and their secondary is awesome. But they can be exposed against the run a little bit. And that's what we know the Eagles do really well with not only Jalen Hurts, but with Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. If the Eagles are going to win this game, they've got to be able to run successfully on first and second down, avoid third downs, and then create the chunk plays down the field. And then on top of that, Courtney, the Cowboys have started fast in each of the last four games with Cooper Rush. They were up 9-0 on Washington. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead against the Bengals. When you have a backup quarterback, you can't afford to fall behind early because you just don't have the firepower to get back into these games. So if the Cowboys can start off hot, force the Eagles out of a lot of running plays, I think they'll have success. But the Eagles are just the better team, especially now with Jalen Hurts playing as well as he is. I expect the Eagles to get off to a fast start, be up 10-0, and that's when they can really start to hunt Cooper Rush on offense. So
yeah,
this is a game that the Eagles should win. I think they will.
Okay. What about the Cowboys and their running game? I mean, have we kind of seen the last of the great Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, is Tony Pollard kind of still hanging in there on that RB2 position?
Yeah, I still think the Cowboys wanted to get Zeke 15 to 16 touches a game. And you can see why. He's still a really good short yardage runner. He's really tough between the tackles. But, I mean, Courtney, we all have eyeballs, right? Like, we can see who's the better running back here. I think the Cowboys are being careful not to overwork Tony Pollard. But anytime that he's in the game, you just kind of hold your breath because he could score from anywhere on the field. And I think he's going to have to be one of the biggest X factors for the Cowboys in this matchup.
With Cooper Rush on offense and Manning under center, what is his strength just in terms of getting the balls out to a lot of his receivers? I haven't watched a lot of Cowboys games, so you know, for the fan with the naked eye, what can we expect from the Cowboys offense? What does Cooper Rush do the best? I mean, does he have an arm that he can sling it all over the field, or you know, he's throwing to wide receivers, he's throwing to tight ends? Like, what's kind of his method to the madness?
Courtney, how far do you think you could throw a football right now if you had to?
I need to stretch my shoulder. I don't want to blow my shoulder
without blowing your rotator.
25 yards.
Okay, then you and Cooper Rush have the same arm.
Cooper
Rush, his strength is he's been in the system for 5 or 6 years now. He knows where to go to the ball, and he can deliver it accurately. He just doesn't have an NFL arm. Like, it's just not good. So everything...
He's a check down king? Is he a check down king?
No, I mean, he'll throw the ball down the middle of the field 15, 20 yards, but there's no velocity behind it. So he's got to do everything with anticipation and accuracy. And that's how he's kind of done it so far. He hasn't turned the ball over. He hasn't made bad reads, and he's kind of kept the Cowboys offense on track. But no, he does not have a good arm by any measure.
Okay. I'm kind of just looking at your background. See, keeping with the Dallas Cowboys theme, it's so great because as I'm looking at you on this podcast, and you can go check out Bad Signal Podcast on YouTube if you want to watch these on your TV. I never really understood that. Like, I mean, I could get it. If someone's doing some work and you want to throw up a podcast on your television, like for sure. But Bad Signal Podcast on YouTube, go subscribe. If you're here listening because of Marcus Mosher, then we want you to be a fan of the podcast as well. We got some great guests. Listen, you can't come on my show unless you're a celebrity. Marcus fits that mold. Speaking of celebrities, I love that the frame of Tony Romo's jersey is perfectly aligned over your head.
It's not on accident.
Over your little spiky blonde hair, it says Romo. So, and then on the other side, over the Bad Signal, it says Sanders, like Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Great. So who had the better Dallas Cowboys career? Because we know Deion Sanders also had a great career with the Atlanta Falcons. Tony Romo. I mean, like, you know, like who's your favorite Dallas Cowboy?
Oh, sir? So that's a really tough question. So Deion was my favorite player as a kid. And how could he not be? Like 6-year-old Marcus watching Deion return punts and play on offense was a lot of fun. But I think Romo was still my favorite Cowboy because I loved him so much watching him in the preseason. Then when he finally got the chance to start, it was fun and it was different and it wasn't Drew Bledsoe and you didn't have a washed up quarterback playing. I think Romo, if I had to pick a favorite Cowboy, I think it would be Tony Romo.
Hey, I just remembered Thanksgivings with Tony Romo. That's I just like have memories. Listen, I watched a lot of football. I watched a lot more football than I did basketball as a kid, but Tony Romo.
Who was your basketball team as a kid?
Celtics, obviously. I gave them up when I was 16, though. This is the big, long story. Once Antoine Walker was traded to the Mavericks and then eventually to the Heat, I lost my shit. I was 16. I was out. I was calling into sports radio. I was yelling at them. I was like, I hate Danny Ainge. What is he doing? He's ruining this team.
So how'd you become a Celtics fan then? Was it like born into you?
I grew up in Boston.
So yes, you were born into it.
Yeah.
So
grew up a Celtics fan. I can remember my brother. I mean, yeah. I grew up 8 miles north of Boston in a suburb called Winchester, Massachusetts. Very fancy white collar town, you know, but we love our sports and we had, you know, parents that would allow us to go all, to all the games. So, you know, I would hitch a ride with some friends and go to Fenway Park. I can remember one of my first memories is going to a Red Sox game in the bleachers. And I must have been 7-8 years old. And these kids were like, you know, they're cursing like mad dogs from South
like Boston.
Like a Boston, and they're like, you have to be nice because she's like, what are you doing? There's children here. And I mean, to be honest, it was like, I didn't really care. You know, I was like, all right, you do you. But everyone was so upset about, you know, my virgin ears. Trust me. You grew up in Boston. You're just like immune to it.
So you're not going to like this.
Oh, God.
My grandmother watched every basketball game in like the 60s and 70s. And she was a Laker fan. She still is a Laker fan. She's a big Jerry West fan. So I was born into Laker culture.
Oh,
still
God.
Still am. My grandma, she's in her mid 90s now. She still gets the NBA league pass and watches every single Laker game on the East Coast. So those games start at like, you know, 10:30 Eastern time. She stays up and watches them.
Wow. Well,
so we're born into it.
Okay, well, I'll counter with this. I have one grandparent left. She is 99 years old. She grew up in Chicago. Their family grew up in Chicago, but she would be the one when I would say that Tom Brady was washed, she would be like, hush, you shut up. Like, the women in sports in my family, surprisingly, and that's on my dad's side. My dad doesn't like sports, but my grandmother is very same with the the old school, the basketball back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, it's something when your grandmother watches sports, like it just makes it even better, right? Yeah. Like they are diehard fans for life, which is awesome.
I'll never forget. I was like talking, but she's like, oh, when the Celtics were playing the Heat, I said, go Heat. She's like, don't tell me that. And she is very active. She's very sharp. Grandma Julie is very sharp on the text.
I just got off the phone with my grandma a couple days ago and she's like, do you think Dennis Schroeder is going to have a better second round with the Lakers? It's like, oh, grandma, you're so far gone. I can't even talk to you about this anymore.
Have you seen Dennis Schroeder? He better have that because he just got like a tattoo of the Lakers over his knee. I just saw that on Instagram.
That's where we're at as Laker fans. Our season count is banking on Dennis Schroeder being good again.
So you're just basically like a big Drake and LeBron guy. Like you just like blow hard on all of the hated. What are you, a Yankee fan too?
No, Thank God. Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Oh, that's worse. Very cool. Stadium that I really, really want
PNC
to go.
PNC is amazing. Yeah.
I that's one of my great stadiums that I really want to go to. And then I'd say like out in Colorado, I don't really want to go see a Rockies game, but I really want to go to Red Rocks.
Go to PNC. It's the most beautiful ballpark in America. You'll love it.
Oh, I saw a TikTok last night. Speaking of history. So did you see that there's a $1 million baseball? And I will preface this by saying I found this on TikTok. I don't know if this is recent, so this is old news that you can, you know, shoot me in the leg and turn this podcast off. However, they found a time capsule in the Chicago Tribune building, one of the Tribune buildings that they were turning into condos. It was from the sports editor from 1920, and he shoved it in the wall. And there's a letter, and basically this was the baseball from the 1919 World Series.
Really?
The 1919 World Series was rigged. Remember, they went into it was against the Red Sox, and they went into Hotel Buckminster, and they you know, so the Chicago White Sox, they lost purposely in this World Series, but it was like this ball that they threw like 10 strikeouts. I mean, the ball looks like terrible, like looks like crap, but yeah, they found this baseball, and they said this is going to be on display there. It should be in Cooperstown. I don't understand like why this wasn't handed over to Major League Baseball, but I thought that that was very cool.
So is somebody selling this baseball?
No. It's basically like it's in the hands of some of the investors of the building.
Oh, so they got
Chicago. It's one of the major, I believe, obviously it would be the Chicago, I believe it's the Chicago Tribune building, because why would a, you know, sports editor just be selling in some random building. But damn.
How much would you pay for that baseball? Like just as is.
It looks like a really dirty, nasty baseball. Like it really looks like, no, like this baseball is not well kept. It looks like blue and moldy green. Like
if your friends came over to your house and you had that baseball, are they going to be that impressed with it?
It's no, like, oh, cool. I wouldn't want the baseball. I'd be like, yeah, sore eyes in my living room. Why don't I just get a picture of the baseball and have someone sign it?
Like, oh, cool baseball. I like your succulent as well next to it.
Is that a prickly pear cactus? I believe.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, cat's claw tree. Yes. Oh,
TJ great. Maxx, $6. Yep.
Now my plants are expensive, man. We got to make sure that these plants are great down here. Marcus, this has been fun. Do you want to talk about anything else for like NFL? I keep getting some alerts. Tre'Davious White is returning. Let's talk about some Buffalo Bills.
Sure, let's do it.
Similar to how they did things last year, I think their point differential this year is like plus 94. It's the most. They're smoking teams once again. But when they beat teams badly. When they lose, it's by less than 7 points. Mm-hmm. It's like a very insanely tense, close game. Why doesn't Gabe Davis get as much love as he should in the NFL?
Well, I think he was going to after that huge playoff game last year, but he got hurt after week one in practice, and he's been a little gimpy the last couple of weeks. Against the Steelers, goes out and just has a monster, monster game. But yeah, I think he's one of the better, like number two receivers in the league. And if the Bills want any shot or any chance of winning this game against Kansas City, they're going to need him to have another one of those 2-3 touchdown games. I agree with you. He's one of the more underrated players in the entire NFL.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills going up against the Chiefs. Is it just kind of a
underdogs though? This is the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career he's been a home underdog. So that's interesting.
Okay, so what does your sports betting mind tell you on that sense? Am I going to get totally of these like reverse line movement contrarian picks?
No, we're not going to be total nerd here.
No, we're not. We're not going to be nerds. Okay.
It's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at home.
I know. You know what? I'm still kind of pissed. Listen, he went for why? Oh, this brings up another conversation that I have on my little topic sheet to talk to you on this great Bad Signal Wednesday. Why the hell did they go for two in that situation? Have we kind of just outplayed the analytics in this sense that we need to go back to common sense? Because like, I don't understand how common sense did not want you to put the game up by 7 instead of by 8.
So
that didn't make sense because I had Chiefs minus 7.5.
So yeah. So the Chiefs they were up 7 and they had a chance to go up by 8, 9, right? If they got the 2-point conversion, correct. If they kick the extra point, they go up by 8. I get it. Right. You go up 2 scores if you get it. If not, the Raiders are still down by 7. That one makes sense to me. I want to know your thoughts on the next one, right? The Raiders going for 2.
Because I think that Josh McDaniels just wanted to show his big ass balls on that.
He just wanted to just
no, he really there. He really just wanted to show it. One of those like 4th and 2 at midfield, Bill Belichick playing the Indianapolis Colts with the Patriots, like one of those big ass moments where I'm gonna go for 2 to win the game.
But all right, Courtney, I think it could kind of work though, right? Like obviously, if you get it, you're up by 1. That's great, right? You have a lead against Kansas City late in the 4th quarter. But if you don't get it, what ended up happening was the Chiefs got ultra conservative on offense. All they did was run the ball. They weren't trying to push the ball down the field and score more points. And what that allowed the Raiders to do was get the ball back, only needing a field goal to win. So I kind of think Josh McDaniels big brained us all here. He played it the right way.
Okay. Contrarian opinion.
They just catches that ball. They beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. It's just, but I think also Josh McDaniels wanted to have a little bit of a measuring contest in this game with Andy Reid.
To me, I just think everyone feels like dangerously sad for the Las Vegas Raiders.
They're so much better than their record, right? They're 1-4 and they're so much better than
you know what? But this is the perfect time in the NFL to prove everyone wrong. Like, listen, we're just 5 weeks through the season. Yeah. And everyone that's saying, oh my God, they're so much better than their record. Well, I mean, just judging by how well and how poorly a lot of these teams have played, a lot of them are going to be speaking to their record because we got, 17 games to play.
And they have games coming up against the Texans, the Jaguars, the Colts, Seahawks, the Steelers. Like, they could get back to 500 in no time. So I'm not pushing the panic button on them yet because we just saw them, Courtney, go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. Like, this team is a legitimate playoff contender, but the record doesn't show that yet.
Yeah, I would say so. Poor Steelers, man.
That's
awesome. I think the Tennessee Titans, they got to pull the plug on Tannehill. They got to start Malik Willis. I think the sooner the better. Get these guys some experience. You know, if you know that it's a lost season, why not kind of roll the dice in the middle of the year?
Yeah, I can see it with the Titans because you've probably gone as far as you can with Ryan Tannehill, which, I mean, they went a long ways. They were the number one seed last year. They got to the AFC Championship.
It was never about him, Marcus, and you know that.
It was about the
run
game.
Never about him. He's one of the most mediocre quarterbacks in the league. They would win because Derrick Henry would run over 200 yards. And he would throw maybe one or two touchdowns. He would move the chains down the field.
And he wouldn't make mistakes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He wouldn't make a mistake. I do think at some point this season, Mike Vrabel is going to have to look at his team and be like, you know what? Malik Willis gives us a little bit more upside. We know that he's more likely to turn the ball over. We know that our passing offense might not be as good, but if he can do a Jalen Hurts impression where he's running the ball for 75 yards and gives us a couple chunk plays in the passing game, why not? Because we're not beating the Chiefs with Ryan Tannehill. We're not beating the Chargers. We're not beating the Bills. Take the risk and see what you got.
Should I was just thinking about texting John Robinson and be like, yeah. Everyone knows on this podcast, I like to do a little name drop. I'm texting John Robinson and being like, yo, J-Rob, start Malik Willis. Should we do that on the show and see what he says?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. Do. And this break is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Are you into fantasy football, Mark?
I mean, I think I did about 350 underdog drafts this summer.
Did
I think that's the actual number. I think that's the actual number.
Wait, okay. So do you know about the Best Ball Resurrection? If you're listening to this right now, the Best Ball Mania, which is basically the draft where you draft your entire team and the league speaks for itself. They take your best players from each one. There's no waiver wire, nothing. We're having a Best Ball Resurrection.
I'm in.
Week 6 through 17. You better act fast because I think that it's closing tomorrow. Because it's going for week six through 17, Best Ball Resurrection. If you are like me and you hate your best ball team, you got to act fast on that. So underdogfantasy.com, Courtney is the code to sign up. Double your, I'm sure that you have a code and I'm just kind of like.
No, you're good. We're going to use Courtney because I need to do this because my quarterbacks were Dak and Mac Jones. And like that was my highest exposure rating or ranking. So yeah, I'm in.
All right. Best Ball Resurrection. Courtney is the code. We also have a new code coming up called The Lab. Very funny. I have friends that have a podcast called Enter the Lab. And I'm like putting together some of my pick'ems and pick five entries, more or less. And I will say this on terms that it's not, you know, underdog feel. It's more or less like a prop parlay, you know, but that it's not betting, it's not gambling, but it's fantasy football for real money. So that's how you got to think about it. So I have this like pick four, pick five entry and I'm like, welcome to the lab. Yes. And like my friends, I tweeted this out because I put together like a little primetime, what my best bets were for some of these props on these primetime games. And my friends were like, cease and desist. cease and desist. That's our podcast name. And I was like, yo, I'm so sorry. But now, yes, I think we're going to enter. The lab is going to be the code if you also want to be a part of the Bad Signal podcast and the Underdog Fantasy Partnership. So, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to tweet at you and we're gonna enter into a.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's
we're going to do a best ball resurrection.
Yeah. Yes, let's do it.
Okay. J-Rob. What do I say? J-Rob. We need to start Malik Willis.
Just two words. Start Malik.
Start Malik. Okay, that's what I'm gonna text him. Two words.
You could also hone in like some of your Joe Biden and just say two words. Start Malik Willis.
Start Malik. Well, that's three. Willis. That's three. Third word. Willis. Let's see. I'm literally, I'm not kidding. I just texted the GM.
This is the least he could do is start Malik Willis, right?
The least that John Robinson can do right now is start Malik Willis. Marcus, where can we find you?
All over the place. I have a couple of different podcasts.
How many podcasts have you started? I mean, apparently I can't announce anything, but there is a potential for me to start another podcast project. Very close to home.
If anyone call it really Game gets Day podcast. No, that's not that one. It's Locked On Cowboys, Locked On Dynasty Football, where we talk about fantasy football every single week. And then I have a show with a former colleague of yours, Elliot Harrison, the Power Ranking Show, where we rank teams every week. We discuss lines, and it's a bunch of nonsense. Plus, we pull football cards and we look at football cards. So it's a lot of fun.
That's fun. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Elliot Harrison is known as the historian. I mean, like, if you wanted someone to be on your show and ask him about Y.A. Tittle, he would probably like run off of.
So like, here's a good preview. I got a set of 1970 football cards. Ooh. And what I'll do is I'll just randomly pull a card and I'll say the player's name and Elliot will give me the stats of the year of that football card for that player.
That's crazy. I know some people are crazy with numbers and like in their heads.
He's incredible.
It's that's next level. I would say the only other person that I know that's really crazy with numbers, like I remember everyone's birthday just on the top of my head, but Darren Revelle remembers like dates, specific things and numbers, but he's just fucking bananas. And I had to mute him on everything because I just can't stand anything.
So. You didn't like seeing the JFK assassination at like 8 o'clock in the morning one day?
Oh my God. No, I unfollowed him. He's muted on Instagram.
But you're right. He is great with numbers that way. So Elliot, I mean, he's going to be really excited that we just compared him to Darren Revelle.
That's the greatest in-game comp that I could think of.
Yeah. So there you go. All right.
Yeah. Shout there you go. Out. All right. Well, you have a good week. And listen, I'm going to see you for some best ball resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be drafting here pretty soon. It should be a lot of fun. But thanks for having me on the podcast, Courtney. Appreciate it. Let's do it again.
Okay. Let's do it again. Sometimes.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.